Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri here. And, well, we got a reaction podcast today. I mean, this is not going to be much more than, your standard...
It's a kind of reaction.
...trade deadline reaction podcast, I guess.
Yeah, you could call it that.
For the most part there. I mean, there's also, there's also some other things we could probably slip in here because, my mind works like that. It doesn't. True. It doesn't work in a straight line. I'm not a single track guy. I am easily distracted. Ooh, something shiny. Wait, what? Anyway, the trade deadline.
Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast.
So, anyway, trade deadline come and pass. The Sabres get next to beans for Evander Kane. But here's what I'm gonna say. Here's what I'm gonna say about that. Frank's not happy. Frank's not happy. But before you get angry.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a hot take out there.
Okay.
I'm okay with it. You got something.
So
you got something for a guy that was probably not signing with you, and that is big.
No, I'm not upset at that. I'm still upset at it, but I've calmed down a bit since Monday.
We should have just done a reaction cast on Monday. We should have just done a reaction cast on Monday.
Oof, that would have been something. But... I'm glad they got something for Kane. I still think they could have gotten more.
I mean, dude, there's some ways where the market dictates, and...
It's true. No, it's true, and that's why I've calmed down a bit. It's because, the market kind of dictated it, and unfortunately, Kane's reputation around the league dictated his price in a trade as well.
Fair or unfair.
Fair or unfair, exactly. Whatever happened in Winnipeg still came back to bite him. And then the charges he had over the summer before his first season in Buffalo came back to bite him, even though that was 3 years ago. And it still shows that teams don't forget those things. Certain teams do not forget that. A team like San Jose recognized what Kane's past was and said, well, we're not going to give you a guaranteed first, but we'll give you a first, but it's a conditional second. And the condition is, if we just do decide to re-sign Kane, or we win the Stanley Cup.
Go Sharks.
So yeah, go Sharks.
Hey, they made it to the Stanley Cup 2 years ago.
They did.
With mostly the same team.
Yeah.
And Joe Thornton's going to be coming back from injury.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. San Jose.
But...
San Jose, that's your team. That's your team,
that's
Sabres
our team,
fans.
Sabres fans. Yeah, that's our
go
team.
Go Sharks.
And Kane's past too seemed to have dictated the kind of prospect they got. And I don't even Daniel Regan, I like him. he seems to me like he could be, he'd be an upgrade over Johan Larsson.
That's
but insane. At but he's already 24. And he's, this is his third pro year.
It's also not saying much.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, it's not saying that much. So that's why I'm really worried about it. So it comes down to the picks. The trade only seems worth it if San Jose re-signs Kane or wins the Stanley Cup and they get the first. If they don't, the trade's going to look terrible. Then the other thing too is that fourth round pick could be a third, but that's if San Jose chooses. That's literally, they could be like, "Hey, Jason, you're gonna have a fourth round pick," or be like, "You know what? We'll give you a third in 2020. You take it, Jay." That's kind of what it seems to me. So I'm not happy. I'm still not happy by the trade, but you said it. It's what the market does.
And fair or unfair, and the problem that I'm having with the market is the fact that it is unfairly portrayed upon Evander Kane.
Yeah.
And that is the unfortunate part about it, is that the Sabres really ended up in a bad position here. It's, of course, not Jason Botchell's fault, nor the Sabres' fault, that the market dictated this, nor is it their fault. Excuse me. We're going to cut this out. Nor is it their fault that, really, that Tim Murray paid a lot to get Evander Kane.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Murray paid a premium price on a guy that, quite frankly, it looks like you didn't need to pay. Because Kane was coming at an all-time low to the Sabres in terms of value.
Yeah.
And now, coming off of three straight productive seasons in Buffalo.
Three straight 20-goal years on a team that couldn't score.
Yeah, in Buffalo, including last year being one of the best even-strength players in the entire NHL.
Yeah.
Look out. I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, his value should have been higher.
And he had that hot start to the year, too.
He had a hot start to the year. He did tail off a little bit as the deadline loomed. But
it's going to happen.
He still is at 40 points at the deadline.
Yep, 20 goals.
That's a good secondary scorer for you, yep, for your team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great production for a guy to help boost some offense for you.
Yeah.
Give you that shot in the arm. And we discussed many possibilities and opportunities for that.
Yep.
So that makes it, again, this makes it again, and I'm going back to this, and I swear I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm having fun doing it at this point. It's almost cathartic in a way. Tim Murray didn't understand value. He paid a lot for it. Not that Brendan Lemieux or Joel Armia were anything necessarily important. However,
That first round pick. Now
was.
It looks bad. Yeah. It looks bad on Murray.
Yeah.
Because Jack Roslovic is on the Jets right now, productive. And he's being productive.
And it does, yeah, it's one of those things.
I don't think he's scoring all that much. In fact, I can take a look at that now.
Look, Tim Murray.
But at the same time, right now, he's playing top 6 minutes.
Yeah.
He's playing a lot.
Yeah.
They're using him.
Again, Tim Murray didn't understand value. He paid too much for a guy that you didn't need to pay you that much for.
He's got 9 points in 21 games, but he played 32 games in the AHL this year and has 35 points. He's doing good. He's doing good things.
And again, this isn't Botchell's fault. I'm never going to blame Jason Botchell for this.
It's not Botchell's fault. I was never mad at Botchell about the trade. I knew he had to get something.
You're just mad about the trade itself.
I'm mad about I'm mad about Kane's value perceived throughout the league.
Yes.
And unfortunately, let me ask you this, okay? This is something I know you heard. Do you think race has to be involved in it?
A little bit.
I think so. I think it's a little bit, too. I don't think it's fully, but I think there has something to do with it.
There is something to it, because you've seen guys that have had problems. Sean Avery kept getting jobs,
yep,
despite actually being a locker room cancer.
Yep.
Why? Because he was effective at putting other teams in the penalty box.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Richards.
Yeah.
How hard did Los Angeles fight for Mike Richards until he got into some serious trouble?
Yep.
But then again, they dropped him like a bad habit the minute that came out.
They
that
did.
News.
But he got a job again.
Did he?
Yeah, he was with Washington for
really?
A year. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. It was like 2 years ago.
Maybe that's how far he fell off the map.
He did. But he has a head job. He had a head job since.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, the Sabres know this too. Ryan O'Reilly was drunk driving, and he ran into a Tim Hortons.
Yep. So,
and did anything happen to him? No.
No. Patrick Kane is probably the biggest example I can come up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and those are some serious allegations there. Not that Evander Kane's wasn't at that bar in downtown Buffalo.
We can name Evander Kane, we can name Patrick Kane, we can name Ryan O'Reilly. All three are equally serious.
All three are things that should not happen.
Yes.
And in the NHL, you don't see many of these sorts of instances.
Yeah.
Which is why they can be overplayed.
Yeah, and I think, and honestly, Evander Kane being a African-American hockey player, it makes him look worse because you see all the time around the news of African-American people getting into trouble and doing things that they shouldn't have and going to jail for a long time. But then occasionally you'll see a white kid who does the same thing, gets a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're seeing it in the NHL too, because Ryan O'Reilly pretty much got a slap on the wrist. Patrick Kane, while that was a big topic over the summer,
and part of
did anything happen to him? No.
But another part of it was heavily fabricated too.
Yeah. And a lot of it was heavily fabricated too. But at the same time,
just because there's no conviction doesn't mean nothing happened.
Exactly.
And I know, innocent until proven guilty, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that something didn't happen. And, you know,
if you're found not, when you're in a court and you're found not guilty of something, it doesn't mean you didn't do it. It just means there wasn't enough evidence to convict you of it.
Yes. And
so and the question still the remains the worst on what, part about what this was
world,
done.
The worst part about this world is that a crap
it's
happens.
It's a common thing around the world.
Crap happens.
Yeah.
That crap happens and it pisses me off to no end, but that's not what we're supposed to be going on about. We took a hard right turn here.
And I mean, you know.
Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast.
Yeah. You know, where shiny things happen. Oh.
See? Shiny thing. And we got distracted.
That's a shiny thing.
But again, so, in the end, though, it comes back to your point. And I agree with the fact that it may have something to do with it. Because the NHL's ownership and leadership, when it comes to decision-making, it's the dinosaur league.
Yeah.
They are dinosaurs with their dinosaur ways and their dinosauriness of dinosaur. How many times can you say dinosaur in 10 seconds? I think I broke a record. Anyway.
That's when you hear
you go back
that's when
to,
you hear the Jurassic Park theme play. Yeah.
That's for post edit. But so if you hear that while we're talking, that means that someone went back and put it in there for us.
That means Derek went back and did that.
I don't know. You say someone. So that means that I didn't do it.
I mean, you know.
Maybe we have someone creative helping us out
but,
here.
But Kane, again, got, no. Kane got value.
Hang on.
He did
but again, the dinosaur thing. Okay. I want to stay on this for 1 second here. Perfect. Dinosaur.
All right.
It starts with the idea of, hey, the trap is perfectly fine in the 90s and early 2000s. Hey, let's not send the best players in the world to the Olympics to help grow the game despite the fact that we're going to have games in China next year. What?
Yeah.
And again, dinosaurs. Mike Milbury and Don Cherry, they have a say in the media, prominent airtime in the U.S. and Canada. Dinosaurs. Stupid. Stop. Shut up. Jeremy Jacobs, the owner of the Boston Bruins and a Buffalo native. I'm calling you stupid, man. From one Buffalo guy to a guy who was from Buffalo, I'm going to say it right to you. Well, I can't say it right to you, but I'm going to say it about you. Stupid. Saying, oh yeah, all 7 people that are going to watch the Olympics. Damn it, I was 8. Look at that, I got mad today.
You did.
But these dinosaurs continue to think these stupid dinosaur things, and Evander Kane being a person of color means, hey, dinosaur thing is going to happen. Devontae Smith-Pelly, they're chanting racist comments to him in the penalty box.
Yeah.
Dinosaur. Such a beautiful game.
The Blackhawks did do the right thing about that.
Such a beautiful game being ruined by such a garbage-ass league.
The Blackhawks did do the right thing about that, though. They did tell the guy he's not allowed back.
Good.
Ever.
And may he...
I would
kick him in the balls. Can I say that? Too late.
I mean, you know, you can. First off, second off, yes. Yeah, you can to both comments that you said there.
Yes.
But the Chicago did do the right thing. They said
double yes.
They said he's not allowed back at the United Center ever.
All right. That.
But from, I did want to see the NHL say, like, yeah, if that happens, you're barred from any game ever at any place.
All right, Derek, return. All right. So we go back to Evander Kane. And the trade value, the fact that Sabres essentially got shafted based on perceived value.
Yeah.
Around the
league. But you know what? At the same time, you got to use the assets you got back for Kane right.
Got to hit those picks.
You got to hit the hit on those picks. Whatever, wherever they are in the into the 2019 draft, wherever they are, or even if that third round, if it becomes third round 2020, you got to hit on those. Or you got to use them the right way. In terms of like maybe a potential trade, but you gotta hope that Daniel Regan becomes an NHLer soon because he is 24.
Look,
so there's not a lot of time to develop.
You get a bottom six out of this guy right now. That's one of the Sabres' biggest weaknesses.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like I said,
you know what? If he becomes a better Johan Larson, that's fine because Johan Larson can play third line center. If Daniel Regan is a third line center and he's the
a
kind
winger.
Of player,
he's a natural winger.
He's a natural winger, so then he plays wing, and we got Ivan Rodriguez for that role too, I'd say. But if you got those two guys who are developed, who are ready to play, who, by the way, O'Regan and Rodriguez were line mates along with Jack Eichel, it'd be you.
Yeah.
So if he becomes a reliable third line player for the team, then I think the trade's fine.
Yes.
And you got to use the assets right.
Yes. Now,
because that third line is becoming more and more important in the league. You're seeing it now.
You need to roll lines. You need to be able to roll lines. You need to be able to confidently put a fourth line out there sometimes against a good team.
Yep.
And see what happens. Phil Housley rolls those lines when the team is clicking comfortably.
Yeah.
But that's when the team's clicking.
Yeah.
Problem is that bottom six has been a sore for
nightmare.
This team this year. And I would say probably one of the biggest reasons this team has been terrible.
Yeah. That and defense.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, it's also about playing team defense.
Yeah.
So, look, Jack Eichel and Evander Kane were only able to do so much this season for this team.
Yep.
Ryan O'Reilly, he's still got Ryan O'Reilly numbers. Sam Reinhart woke up.
He did.
Where is my bottom six scoring coming from?
Exactly. Where's your depth?
Nick Deslauriers has 7 goals this year
in Montreal. That's a fluke.
I know, but guess what? That's still a thing.
Still, if he did, okay.
Am I overreacting? Maybe, but probably. Have I gotten any of that kind of production
no
from my bottom six outside
here.
Of Benoit Pouliot? No.
There's no way he would have done it here, though.
No, I know, but still.
He's doing it.
Again.
He's doing it, and good for him.
And good for him, again, my main point is, am I getting that out of anyone outside of Benoit Pouliot? No.
No. Evan Rodriguez is next closest.
Yes.
And even there's still developing for him.
The worst part is right now, based on what this team is right now, I consider Rodriguez a top six.
You could, you know, you really could.
Look at this roster, man.
That's the kind of, this is the roster that Botchell inherited.
No, I'm talking its current version. No Jack Eichel, yep. No Evander Kane. It looks like a tank roster. I'm not kidding. You have O'Reilly, you have Reinhart.
Stop it.
You have Risto, you have Scandella.
Stop it.
And you have a bunch of stupid names.
Stop it. Stop it. It's because you're right. Stop it. I don't want to hear it. It's because you're right.
Scott Wilson's playing the top six, man. Nothing against Scott Wilson. He got hot.
He's fine. But you know what?
But is Scott Wilson
no, he's not.
Being traded to be a top six player on this team?
No.
Has Zemgus Girgensons done anything other than be unlucky and snake-bitten and need to probably sacrifice a small goat to score a goal every now and then? No. And this is... This is life right now as a Sabres fan. Bulldog had this big old powwow yesterday.
I know.
On GR, and it was incredibly hilarious at times and like mostly depressing, but at the same time you have to think about it. There are only two teams that I'd rather not be. I would rather be the Sabres than Ottawa, and I'd rather be the Sabres than Arizona.
Yeah,
other than that, you've got fair game as to what I can say that could be more positive than being a Sabres fan right now.
Yeah.
Montreal's kind of garbage.
I would actually rather be the Sabres than Montreal.
And if Montreal keeps Marc Bergevin, well, guess what? Then there's three teams.
No matter what, I would rather be
Vancouver, if they keep... Oh, they did extend Jim Benning, didn't they?
They're still doing good things, though.
Yeah.
They're still doing good things, though.
They're doing better things. They're I don't think they're good things. I'll put four on the list. There's four teams. Four teams that I'd rather not be over the Sabres. And funny thing is, three of them are in Canada. Yeah. Suck it. But that's the thing. Every other franchise, you can give me a convincing point. Seattle's team isn't even on the ice right now. And I'd rather be them. Can we trade the Sabres for the expansion? Is that legal? Or is that hearsay for me saying that because that means we lose Jack Eichel?
Yeah, you would lose Jack Eichel in no way.
And Casey Mittelstadt. Yeah, and you know what? I'm pointing out the bright spots.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
But based on the expansion rules that happened for Vegas, why not?
You know.
Is it selfish of me that I want to see this team actually win? Like a lot of fans got tired of the Bills and that drought conversation and everything like that. We're hitting that territory with the Sabres.
Yeah. The Especially, thing is, the lucky part is with the Sabres is they are not the longest playoff drought, though. So you got that right now, at some point that will change if they don't do something. Because right now, the longest playoff drought in the NHL is Carolina. Mm-hmm. They haven't made the playoffs since 2009.
Yeah.
And they're kind of close this year, and they could be even closer next year. Especially if they make more right moves and they get better goaltending. If they had good goaltending, they'd be a playoff team right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. So, can we look at the other trades real quick? Can we do that? Are we done?
I guess.
Okay. Michael Grabner was traded from the Rangers to the Devils.
They got a better return than the Sabres did on game.
But think about that. Rangers and Devils made a trade. That's the first time that's ever happened, considering the rivalry. Rangers got Igor Rykov, who's a decent defenseman. We'll see.
Yeah, by the way, the Rangers. I mean, you want to talk about some rebuild.
We'll go over that.
You want to talk about some rebuild.
They got Igor Rykov and a second-round pick for Grabner.
I'm hearing Rykov is not a schlub.
I've heard for good things about him. Yep.
So you're looking at least a B-level defensive prospect.
Yeah. Traded Rick Nash to Boston.
They got
Ryan Spooner.
They got a return on Nash.
That's a return. Ryan Spooner, who right away is on your team and probably is a third liner going forward, maybe even more. Ryan Lindgren, another B-level defenseman.
Lindgren's a pretty promising looking guy.
Yep. Retaining 50% of Matt Beleski, that's just a throw-in.
That's a price, and that's how you get a better return.
Yep. First-round pick, a guaranteed first-round pick from Boston, and a seventh. So that's a return.
And then Ryan McDonough. New York knowing that Tampa was heavy on Carlson and knowing that in case that wasn't going to work, they worked those phones brilliantly on that one.
Yeah.
You know, this is the first time we're seeing the Rangers actually like really digging in and trying to get the prospect line.
And they did it.
In a long time.
They did it.
Like, this is the first.
They
first
did off, it as of now.
First off, you got to feel for Henrik Lundqvist. Got to feel for the man.
Yeah.
He was in a Stanley Cup final. He was snake bitten most of his career in the playoffs.
Yep.
By a team that couldn't score goals for him.
Yep.
And
well,
now.
Guess what? Now they're getting now, players that can score goals.
And now they are getting. To the peak, I mean not the peak, but the pinnacle of his career. It's over, and they're rebuilding. Do you know just how much that's gotta hurt?
It's gonna hurt, but
poor
as long as Lundqvist can still play,
poor Hank,
he can be a part of that. He can still be a part of it even at his age. Rangers,
he's 36, man.
I know. How many? And he's got like 4 years left on his contract that nobody wants. Make $8.5 million a year for like another 4 years, maybe 3 years, but even still, nobody wants that contract. So they trade Ryan McDonough, they trade JT Miller as well, and get Vlad Nemestikov, who was playing on the first line with Tampa on probably the best line in the league with Stamkos and Kucherov.
Yep.
So now Libor Hajek, don't know much about him.
But now you get to see, just another in guy. Case, what is Nemestikov at that point?
Yeah.
Is he his own guy?
Yeah. That's what Rangers are going to find out. Brett Howden, that's a good prospect.
That is.
A first-round pick. And so now they have three first-round picks this year and a conditional second. And that conditional second could become a first next year. If Tampa wins a cup within the next 2 years, Rangers got two first-round picks from Tampa.
And look at Tampa. That's realistic.
They can do it. They can very do it.
That is realistic.
They got Ryan McDonagh this year and next year.
They got term.
And they got
And again, savvy of the Rangers to see that. Because, again, they were looking at Carlson where you can get two shots at a postseason with him.
Yep.
And now they got the same thing with Ryan McDonagh.
Yep.
Could you imagine if Tampa 2 years down the road, they win the cup with McDonagh and then they sign Carlson in free agency?
They let McDonagh walk and sign Carlson? What the hell? That might happen.
Just ruin the Atlantic Division for you, Sabres fans. Just like how the Patriots ruined the East for the Bills.
Yeah. So, Derek Brassard got traded. Ottawa purging everything, except Carlson. Traded Derek Brassard, who 40% of his contract, too, was retained by Vegas.
By the way, how shady is that deal?
Very.
Like,
it shows how much flexibility Vegas has.
Not just that, but Vegas didn't get anything for this. They got Ryan Reeves.
They got a fourth-round pick.
Ooh.
Wow.
I would have asked for more.
Yeah. I think they also got a third-round pick, too.
George McPhee has been way too nice to GMs over the past year and a half. From the expansion draft to the trade deadline. Way too nice.
Yeah.
Hey, we can retain 40% if you give us a fourth-rounder and Ryan Reeves. What is with Ryan Reeves?
Beats me.
Why is he getting... He got traded for a first-rounder, and now he's getting dealt to Vegas as a reward for retaining salary just because. And I'm looking at a clock spinning backwards right
now.
No lie in the studio. And that's my thought process on Ryan freaking Reeves.
I know. Same here. Like, I'm looking at the...
Could you...
Oh, now it's going forward again. What is this? What is this clock?
Frank, we are in the hyperbolic time chamber.
We're in the Twilight Zone. I think we're in the Twilight Zone right now.
Let me have my DBZ moment, damn it.
The work of anything DBZ.
Dude, we're in the hyperbolic time chamber, okay? You see how fast time is moving right now? We're going to spend a year in here on this podcast.
That's fantastic. Maybe we'll have full-time jobs by then.
We're cutting that part out. We are cutting that part out.
Oh, come on, that's funny.
We're looking at around the 35-minute part, and we're cutting that out.
Oh, come on, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. The clock is still moving very fast.
Look, I just...
Okay. Let's get back. Derek Brassard goes to Pittsburgh. Their center core now is Crosby, Malkin, Brassard because reasons.
Dude, Phil Kessel's on the third line in that team. And Phil Kessel can do Phil Kessel things when he's got someone good like Brassard there.
Yeah.
And he's still the best player on that line.
Yeah.
And he's not facing the best checking. Oh, my God.
Pittsburgh's probably going to three-peat.
Pittsburgh could three-peat. The only team that could stop them is a team that trots Ryan McDonagh on one pairing and Victor Hedman on the next.
Yeah. That's going to be the East Final. That's going to be a good series. That's going to be a really good series.
Hang on.
So Ottawa gets a 2019 third, a 2018 first, Ian Cole, who they flipped for a third-round pick to Columbus, and Philip Gustafson, prospect goalie. From what I know about Gustafson, that's a really good prospect that they got. By the way, the clock has now been returned to normal.
By the way, no, it hasn't. The second hand is no longer moving.
Nope, now it's not moving. It was at one point.
So, by the way, you know what's really weird for Rangers fans?
Now it's moving really fast. All right, go ahead.
As we give you play-by-play of a clock in our studios.
Yeah.
How weird is it for Rangers fans that the Ryan McDonough Dan Girardi pairing is going to win Tampa a cup.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. So you were just saying they can bolster the defense that has Victor Hedman on one and Ryan McDonough on the other. You know what that third pairing is going to have?
Mikhail Sergachev. And Vasilevsky's a ninja.
And they got Vasilevsky, who's probably going to win the Vezina. And they have Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov might win the Art Ross. He might win MVP.
And then you have Tyler Johnson, who's very underrated on this team.
Yeah.
JT Miller came back in that deal.
Yep.
Yanni Gourde has been very nice.
Yanni Gourde has been a great player for them. Braden Point
has been a revelation. It kind of hurts losing Mestikov there, but
when they get Palat back,
yeah, Andre Palat's on IR, and that's a nice move.
Oh, look out for the Lightning,
dude. Palat makes more money than Kucherov.
Yeah, weird, right? It's like a team should have offered Sheeta Kucherov over the summer, you know, when he was an RFA.
You know, if we didn't live in a world of dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only team that can stop Tampa right now is Pittsburgh in the East.
And Pittsburgh's got to slog through the Metropolitan.
Yeah. And that's going to be a dogfight.
I mean, Washington their way out of the playoffs, but
then you got Philly, who's been one of the hottest teams.
Yes.
And then it all depends on who plays who. We might see a Pittsburgh-Washington first-round series, honestly. We might. As of right now, Philly leads the division, I believe, or Washington does.
Washington does.
But it's not. But they're all separated by like 2 points.
Yeah. Batman, you need to change it back.
Yeah. The playoffs format, yeah.
Give us our 1 and 2 for our division winners.
Yeah. And then 3 through 8 is just a dogfight.
3 through 8 is your wild card dogfight.
Yeah. You know what? I take back about Pittsburgh being the only team. There's one other team in the East that can stop, that has the potential. Actually, sorry. There's actually two, I think.
Boston.
And Toronto. Toronto did go out and get Plekanec from Montreal. Think about that.
Toronto is...
They gave up a second round pick. Kirby Reichel, who's a fringe NHLer at best. And Rinyet Valiev, who's a pretty good defensive prospect.
Dude.
And they get Plekanec, who, as of right, when Sabres with a healthy Austin Matthews, is their fourth line center.
Sabres fans are going to riot if Toronto wins a cup within 2 years.
Yeah.
Of Austin Matthews showing up.
Yeah.
They will riot.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, and this is why this season might be a blessing in disguise for the Sabres. Toronto was bad the year that they ended up winning the draft lottery.
On purpose.
They didn't really do it on purpose. They didn't full tear down. They had Bozak. They had Kadri.
They didn't full.
They had JVR.
But they tanked. They tanked. They tanked, but they didn't Sabres tank.
They didn't take anything apart. The only difference between that was enough that year. Toronto didn't have any competition because they just played badly. They had guys still that could play hockey. Morgan Riley was on that team.
The only real guy they traded was Kessel.
Yeah.
Their best player.
And that was it.
Yeah. Kept Bozak, kept Komarov, kept JVR, kept Riley, kept Gardner.
Yeah. They had pieces that are looking great now. Why? Because
they put a team around them.
Yep. And again, say what you want about Mike Babcock and everything like that. The big thing is the work that Brendan Shanahan did.
And Lou Lamoriello. Mm-hmm.
So now, Sabres fans are going to lose their stuff, and I might be with them if Toronto wins a cup. Because you know what that's going to mean? I made an agreement with Howard Simon. You know that USA Bills themed jersey I have?
Yes.
That angered everyone?
Blasphemy. But go ahead.
I bought the Austin Matthews version. Yes, I know. I'm a jerk.
Yes, you are.
But it was for revenge for everyone making fun of me. I did agree, handshake style, if Austin Matthews wins the cup
before
Jack Eichel does,
okay,
I am burning the jersey.
So I should cheer for Austin Matthews to win the cup.
You go to hell. If only because I love my American jersey. Also, it's, don't cheer for Toronto.
It's still blasphemy.
You go to hell.
It's still blasphemy.
That's blasphemy, man.
No, the jersey is still blasphemy. Okay?
That doesn't mean what you're doing isn't.
I know. No, it is.
So I'm going to call it what it is. You're being a hypocrite.
All right. I'm
just messing around. And you're being a mean person to Buffalo. At least mine has USA on it and Bills. Even sure. If it was for the main purpose of making people angry and having my revenge. I can at least admit that.
Well, you really made that bet with Howard.
No, it was an agreement. It wasn't even a bet.
Okay.
Because he said,
you're and not... And this is forever. This lasts forever.
And he said, you're not going to be allowed to wear that ever if he wins a cup. I'm like, I know. I should probably burn it, huh? He's like, yeah, you probably should. I'm like, yeah, probably will. And there it was. So.
Okay. Hey, so, you know what? See what happens. Because this is forever, too, right? Like, Auston Matthews and Jack Eichel may not have a chance at the Cup for 10 years. And you never know.
Based on how Toronto's built.
Eh. Oh, no, I'm just saying, though. Like, there is that possibility.
We also made this agreement the week the Bills made the playoffs, which means the Sabres were already out of playoff contention.
Yeah.
And Toronto is still looking good.
Yeah.
So we made that agreement with the full premise that, hey, it could happen this year. No, I know,
but I'm saying is the agreement is that it's not just within the next 2 years.
He did say you're not going to be allowed to wear that.
If Auston Matthews wins a cup before Jack Eichel. That means it can happen. The only way
I'd be able to wear that is if I went to a Bills game and pretended I was a Canadian. But then it still wouldn't make sense because I had the words USA on the chest.
Yeah, it still doesn't make sense. All right, well, that's a thing.
I said that would be my agreement.
That's a thing. And Toronto's looking good. Ottawa teared down everything. Nashville paid a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman. That was another reason why I couldn't stand with the Vander Kane.
Ryan, I'm only good with Patrick Kane. Hartman got a first-round pick. For everything that David Poile does well, he's pretty dumb at the deadline sometimes.
He's pulling off a risk. Because there's still, that's a huge, I mean, the thing is.
It's dumb. I'm going to call it dumb.
We'll have to see. If they win the cup, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but at the same time, you still paid a first round pick for Ryan Hartman, just like how you paid a first round pick for Paul Gostad.
Yeah, and that didn't work out because they didn't win the cup.
Like I said, for everything that David Poile has done and fleeced other GMs, see Kyle Turris and PK Subban.
He
still doesn't do the best. He doesn't have the best track record on NHL trade deadline day.
Yeah. That's fair. You know what, though? What was a surprise trade for the deadline? What do you think it was?
Ryan Hartman going for a freaking first.
I would have said Paul Stastny going to Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah, the one that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. And guess who also didn't like it? Braden Schenn.
Yeah. Well, apparently, what's funny is apparently.
By the way, they lost 8-3 in their last game against Minnesota.
Apparently, there's a lot of discontent in the Blues locker room being reported. Like. It's like divided, like half. There's like one player leading the charge with one side of the room, and another leading the charge with another side.
It sounds
like it's Pietrangelo and Steen. Alex Pietrangelo and Alex Steen. Apparently,
there can only be one Alex.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, apparently, what started it was Alex Steen was upset that he wasn't named captain. That's apparently what started it.
Look,
that's weird.
Everything about Alex Steen, look, buddy.
That's weird.
Because
it was obvious Pietrangelo was going to be the captain. It was obvious.
Alex Pietrangelo, it's been his team. You came from Toronto and revived your career.
Yeah.
So, of course it's his team.
Besides, why are you mad at Pietrangelo for being named captain? Shouldn't you be mad at the coach because he names the captain and the GM because he helped? They help.
And the
they
rest,
decide.
And the rest of the locker room helps decide these things. So
doesn't the locker room give the input? The coach would be like, hey, you know, with Pietrangelo not there, be like, hey, we're planning on naming out Alex Pietrangelo head coach. You know,
yeah, no.
Hope you guys like that. They're like, how you guys feel about that? You know, I want input. Input, what you guys think about Alex as a leader, you know? And they're probably like, yeah, he's a great leader, everything, you know. He's a great guy, great defenseman. Eh? It's a little Canadian accent.
That's terrible.
I know. I'm sorry.
Listen, bud, if you're going to do a good Canadian accent there, bud, you got to be able to fully commit to it, bud. And next thing you know, you can do something and be able to name someone a captain there, bud.
Well, you know, I think he's a good player there, and we've always liked Alex. You know, he's a really good player.
Was that Mike Babcock?
Yes.
I think this is a point where we have to end the deadline reaction of the podcast.
I'm done. I feel a lot
better
now.
We just did it.
I feel a lot better.
We forcibly ended it with that.
I feel better. I feel a lot better now.
All right. But you still didn't even get as angry as I did.
True. I said I calmed down from the last couple of days.
I will forever be the angry man because it took me 4 seconds.
The only other trade that we could talk about is Tatar going to Vegas. Vegas paying 3 picks, but who cares, because Vegas has now like 4 years of Thomas Tatar.
Vegas has so many
3 years
picks.
Of Thomas Tatar. They still have all the
picks.
They paid. Here's the thing about Vegas. They don't have a lot of picks this year, but they have all the picks the next 2 years. So who cares?
So what was it again? It was was it a 2018 first?
2018 first, 20
stupid.
2018 first, 2019 second, 2021 third. Third round pick 3 years from now.
They have so many picks that they use different years to dish 3 picks.
Because they can.
Because they have so many picks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they gave up their first already, but
they're going for it.
That's fair. They don't have firsts from other teams this year?
Nope. Not the next 3 years.
So it's all them in the first round now.
Yep.
After the expansion draft?
One second round pick this year. This year's picks is just second round, 2 fourth rounders, not their own, Pittsburgh and Vancouver's.
Mm-hmm.
Their own fifth, Carolina's fifth. Their own sixth, Toronto's sixth, and they don't have a seventh. But then next year, first round pick, 2 second round picks, 3 thirds, a fourth, 2 fifths, a sixth, and a seventh.
And
2020, they're first.
Hang on.
3 seconds.
Frank, before you carry on, if they're good next year, you better see those. You better expect those picks are going to be going.
Yeah, if they're doing it again, considering the team's probably going to be drastically different than next year, because you got Neil UFA, Perron UFA, William Carlson's at least an RFA. He's going to get a lot of money.
They'll pay him.
They have the
cap to do it.
Spezza and Stone are UFAs. They're probably not going to pay him anyway. They got some. They're gonna have to. They got to spend some money to retain some players, but they're still gonna have money to sign others. So we'll see. Vegas is interesting, and they're good, and it's actually pretty fantastic.
And we'll see. And guess what? We'll see you guys next time here on the Leftovers Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Derek Kramer WGR.
Follow me on Twitter at Frank R. Curry.
And of course, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Ryotbac 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Ryotbac 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's infinitely refreshing!